to someone and say Merry Christmas. So with that, we are talking about the Christmas message, the Christmas story here this morning. Always good for us to go back and revisit that and give God thanks for the wonderful gift. A lot better than whatever is currently under your tree. There is the gift of Christmas, and the Savior has been born. And so with that, we are in the book of Luke today. Just going to go through a few verses. Luke chapter 1, and then share some thoughts with you. But really what I was hoping to do was spend the bulk of our time just worshiping God and thanking Him for the gift that He's already given to us. Yes, all of us have heard the Christmas story numerous times. I pray God gives us something fresh this morning, something that maybe we're not kind of used to hearing, but something that pertains obviously to the narrative. And so with that, let's look at this passage together. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Lord, we just thank you this morning for the privilege that you give us, Lord, to gather together as your children, to hear your word and to worship you and to spend time collectively, Lord God, in your presence. I pray that you would communicate to us, Lord, as only you can, in a way that is clear, in a way that is practical, that we can take home with us today. Minister to our hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there are so many beautiful elements to this Christmas season. You know, people get together, they gather to celebrate, and familiar songs are being played, and children are running, and they're playing, and gifts are being exchanged, boxes are being unwrapped. But that's not how the very first Christmas was. There was a different tone for that particular one. It was filled with surprises and challenges. And if you're familiar with the first two chapters in Matthew and the first two chapters in Luke, that's what tells the Christmas story. How did I get to that particular? How did I get there? Let's just leave it there for now. But you know what? These truths were not written for us to admire from a distance. The story of the Christmas is not written for us to simply look at and admire from a distance. It's not something that we're just to look at. There's no window shopping here. We're supposed to look at this and say, Lord, what is it that you want to communicate to my heart about? Because God's word is new and it's fresh and alive. And there's an invitation here because there's so many important lessons to learn. You know, when you look at the life of Mary, we know that that she was a believer who surrendered to God. When you look at the life of Elizabeth, you know that she had to yield, submit herself to God, even though she couldn't have children for many, many years. When you look at the person of Joseph, who was placed in the most awkward of situations, and now he's going to be the father of a son that he didn't father, if that makes sense. He was supposed to help raise this boy who had nothing to do with as far as him arriving. And so there are so many different stories, or the man Zechariah who was visited by the angel and he should have known better because he was a priest and he should have had the faith, but yet he didn't have the faith. So there are so many important lessons for us to glean from here. And the scene of the nativity which also has to teach us about God and teach us about ourselves. When we look at the scene of the birth, when we look at this particular scene here, there is so much for us to learn about who God is and who we are, because no longer is God so far away that he can't be reached. And God's purpose is not to set a bunch of rules for us to follow, but Scripture informs us regularly, Old Testament, New Testament, that God wants a relationship with us. What is it that God wants? He wants a relationship with us. And the Bible, and the babe in the manger here is taking us back to the beginning. He's taking us back to the very, very beginning, a time for us to reflect on the character of God, because as I was reminded again yesterday, when we study the character of God, then you begin to trust God. The more you know someone, the more you trust that particular person. And what is it that we do, what is it that we want? We want to know God so we can trust him and fall into his arms without any reservations whatsoever. So I'd like to share the ABCs with you this morning. A, B, C. Simple enough? ABC? Take this home and we will be done for the day. A is God is approachable. God is approachable. B, God is boundless, meaning limitless. And C, God is a creator. Let's begin with the first one. God is approachable. God was not understood to be approachable in the Old Testament. And when Moses would speak to God and the Lord would descend onto the mountain and there would be fire and smoke, the people were afraid and they said, Moses, you go speak to God and you come talk to us. We don't want to have that kind of encounter. And whenever the angel of the Lord, which by the way is Jesus in the Old Testament, whenever he would appear to someone known as the angel of the Lord, they would be afraid, thinking, I am going to die. Like when he came and appeared to Gideon, Gideon thought to himself, I'm now going to die since I have seen the Lord. But that was not the case, because God has always wanted us to approach him from the very beginning. And in the Old Testament, we have passages. Here's another picture. We have passages like Jeremiah 3 and 19 that says, I thought to myself, I would love to treat you as my own children. This is God speaking. He says, I wanted nothing more than to give you this beautiful land, the finest possession in the world. I looked forward to you calling me Father, and I wanted you never to turn from me. He's saying, I want you to know me and to call me Father, and I want you to be close, close to me. And God is the one that always initiated the relationship. Man never sought after God, because man is by nature very sinful, and we like the darkness. But it's God that came to seek after us. So God is the one that always initiated the relationship. When God appeared to Abraham, he began that relationship. When he appeared to Jacob, he began that relationship. As a matter of fact, he appeared to Jacob on more than one occasion, and that's because Jacob needed some help. Can anybody relate to somebody who needs some help in this room today? When you are in need of help, when you don't get it the first time, case in point right here, when you don't get it the second time or the tenth time, God continues to appear in your life over and over and over again, so much so that at one particular point, when Jacob is ready to go back home after being in exile, if you will, for 20 plus years, it says, then there he went by a brook of water and was left alone, and there he was found by a man who wrestled with him until the breaking of day. What is going on there? The angel of the Lord, God himself, Jesus himself, is appearing to him and wrestling with him and wants to let him know, Jacob, I want this relationship with you, but I can't have this relationship with you as Jacob. I need to have this relationship with you, but I need to transform you so that you and I can be on the same page. Because so long as you're wayward, so long as you're a little bit over here and a little bit over here, then we won't always have the same frequency. I'm going to be on the FM dial. You're going to be somewhere over on the AM dial. I want you to be on the same frequency as I am. And so I'm going to change you. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but your name shall now be called Israel, which means Prince with God or Son of the King. Son of the King. You'll notice that the weaker the faith of a person, the closer God seems to be, and that's good news for you today. I bet you came to church not expecting to hear that. The weaker you are, the further along you are, the closer God becomes to you, because he knows how much more help you need. How many times did the Lord appear to Joseph? Joseph, the great man of faith in the Old Testament. How many times did he appear to him? He had a couple of dreams, and that was it. Why? Because Joseph had faith. He didn't need one encounter after the next, one encounter after the next. But what about Jacob? Jacob needed encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter. Can anybody relate? And so God is communicating and saying, I am here to help you. And despite all these examples, the Jewish people didn't see God as approachable. And so God introduces himself to the world as a baby in the manger scene. Let me go back to this picture here. He introduces himself as a baby. Why? Why a baby? Because there's nothing as disarming as a baby. You can be in the worst of moods, but when a baby's brought into the room, suddenly you have a smile on your face. There's something so pure and wholesome and hopeful about an infant where they help you bring your guard down. They remind you of the days of innocence, and there's this sense of newness and hopeful expectation for the future. And so God, in the arms of a young Mary here, is being very, very approachable. A special invitation is given to the unknown shepherds now who are being told by a choir with a special concert given from heaven to the shepherds saying, we want you to come and see the special delivery that has just arrived in Bethlehem. Why would he appear to shepherds? Because they were the least in society. They were the ones who were on the bottom of the caste. And so to make everyone accessible, to give access to everyone, Jesus is born then, not in a palace and not in a secluded place, but where is he born? He's born in an open stable in a barn with a bunch of animals. And we'll see how all this plays out here in just a minute. And so the invitation goes out throughout the ministry of Jesus, who says to us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation goes out to saying, I am approachable. I want you to come to me. What baffles me is in my own lack of spirituality from time to time. Anybody have a lack of spirituality from time to time? Or is it just this pitiful preacher up here? We all go through seasons where we are not so spiritual in our lives, and we sense that in those moments that God is no longer approachable because I haven't met a certain standard. But here he declares and says to us, come to me who you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. I am approachable. And even if you are blind, like blind Bartimaeus, who heard that Jesus was coming by the side of the road, and he began to scream out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops the procession and says, what is going on? They say, the blind man. He says, call him to me. And you know what? He couldn't hear Jesus from the crowd. So they said to him, read this in Mark chapter 10. They said to him, the master is calling you. For those of you who have been calling out to God, but you can't hear him, allow me to tell you today on behalf of the master, because maybe you're not able to hear his voice, stand up. Mark chapter 10. Stand up, the master is calling you. Don't know who this is for, but stand up, he is calling you. He is telling you, I am approachable. You have been distant. You have been sensing a distance between you and God, but he is saying to you, I am approachable, and I want you to draw near to me, because the further you stay away, the longer you stay away, the colder you become, and the darker things get. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a step of faith and step into the light. Do you know how hard it was for a blind man to cry out in the middle of his and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. I need to see. I need to see. I am desperate to see. I pray that God creates a sense of urgency in each of our hearts to lift up our hearts to God and say, God, I'm in a place where I can't necessarily see you, and I can't feel you, and I can't hear you. I am not in touch with you in any way, shape, or form. So I am lifting my heart, and you can do this right now, right where you're seated. I don't mean audibly, but in your own heart, because God hears your heart right now. You can cry out to him and say, God, I need you in this particular moment. I need to connect with you. And he will stop what he is doing, and he will say, come. Come. And he asks the man the most incredible question. What is it that you want me to do for you? Isn't it kind of obvious, Lord? I mean, after all, you know everything. You have all kinds of wisdom, and clearly you see that I'm blind, and clearly you see that I need some help. What could I be asking you for? But he wants to hear it from him specifically. He wants the blind man to say, I need to see. I am desiring to see. Would you please open my eyes? God, wants you today to be very specific with Him. So you can lift up your heart and say, Lord, I need this right now. This is what I need from You at this particular moment. And you know what? He is ready to grant you that petition. Because those who seek Him will find Him if they seek Him with half of their hearts. Did I quote that correctly? With most of their hearts. Did I quote that correctly? The answer is no. With all of their hearts. God, would You unite my heart today to fear Your name and to cry out before You and say, Lord, would you give me this passion to say, Lord, I will not be afraid any longer. I don't want to sit in blindness and darkness any longer. I want to believe that You are approachable, and I am taking a step of faith to approach You today and say, help me to see. Help me to see. Not only approachable, but He is boundless, which means limitless. He is unlimited. We've all heard that God is not limited in anything. Nothing is impossible with God. But all the virtues of God are endless. Like we know that His love is relentless and His provision is abundant. For example, in His love being relentless, we know the story of Hosea in the Old Testament, where God says to him, Hosea, I want you to be a picture. I'm going to draw a picture with you because I want you to represent Me. And the person that I want you to marry represents wayward Israel. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go find a woman of harlotry, and I want you to marry her. Hosea's like, are you serious right now? Like, I'm a faithful man of God. I'm a prophet. I'm a holy person. You want me to do what? He's saying, I'm drawing a picture. I want you to go find a woman of harlotry. And if we put it in today's vernacular, I want you to go to Pine and Fifth. What the what? I want you to go to Pine and Fifth and find a prostitute, and I want you to marry her. This is in the Bible? It's in the Bible. It says, and he goes and he marries Gomer. Her name is Gomer. Silly name, but he goes and he finds this woman named Gomer, and he marries her, and he has three children by her. After he has children, she leaves again. You would think by this time God would say, look, you've done your job, you've done what I've asked you to do, it's time for you to part ways and go find yourself a virtuous woman. You know what God tells him to do? Go and redeem her again. Wait, what? Go and find her again. She has made herself a prostitute one more time and she's in the arms of other lovers. I want you to go and take out some silver, and I want you to redeem her one more time. God, are you serious? He's saying, yes, because that's my heart towards my people, because this is my love. My love is relentless. It is boundless. It is, you cannot contain the love of God. When I'm in pursuit of you, I'm in continuous pursuit of you. I'm not just in pursuit of you until you make your first mistake, until you make your first 10 mistakes, until you make your first 100. I am in continuous pursuit of you. Now, if you insist, that you don't want me, eventually I will let go. But so long as the window of opportunity remains and you have air in your lungs, I will continue to pursue you. His love is relentless. His provision is abundant. And we know that. When the people were following Him for 3 days in the wilderness, Jesus, and the disciples came and said, they've been now following us for 3 days, and I'm pretty sure they are tired and they are hungry. Send them away to find something to eat. And He says, you give them something to eat. And He multiplies the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there they find 12 baskets that are left over. What is that? That's called an abundance. They began with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They feed 5,000 men besides women and children. 20,000 people plus are being fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they take up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. What is that? That's called the God of abundance. When He says, you put something into my hand, when you entrust something into my hand, not only do I bless it, but I bless it to such an overflow, you won't even have room to receive it. God's forgiveness is boundless. His forgiveness is boundless. Like with the servant who owed Him 10,000 talents when He was teaching us about how to forgive other people. It says, and a servant came to the king who owed Him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. If you worked every day for the rest of your life, you would not be able to accumulate 10,000 talents. And the moral of the story here is the fact that you cannot earn your way out of this. In other words, you are in so much debt that unless you are forgiven, you are dead. You are dead. You are finished. You are over. And the Bible says, and the king forgave him completely. The king forgave him completely. And that's why we are told to forgive one another as we have been forgiven ourselves. And so God's ability to work things out, listen, his ability to work things out in your life are also without limits. And that's great news for us, especially if you're going through a tough season in your life, because it tells us in the scripture, Emmanuel is here, which means God is with us. And he'll work things out just as he did for Mary and for Joseph. Because you know what? Being pregnant without being married was a problem. When the angel came to her and says, you are going to have a son, she says, how will this be since I do not know a man? That created a problem. Joseph is having second thoughts about marrying her now that she has said to him, I am with child. He's like, are we sure about this? Yeah, this is really, really. And so then the governor gives an order to have a census taken. They need to be counted down in Bethlehem. And so now they are on their way, traveling some 80 miles south to Bethlehem to be counted. It's taken at least 3 days on this donkey. And so they finally get to Bethlehem, and they're ready to have this baby delivered, and they find no room at the inn. There's no place for the baby to come. It's not how Mary probably envisioned the scene. From our natural standpoint, it seems like everything that could go wrong is actually going wrong right now. But when Mary looks back, she can see the hand of God was there in the smallest of details. That's how it usually goes in our lives. Perhaps you receive a word or a promise from the Lord, and the next thing you know, that everything that you've envisioned is not exactly like the reality that you are facing at the moment. God says, here's what I am promising you, or here's what I am offering to you, and then you look at your actual life, and it's the complete opposite. You're just like, wait, what? You said, and I am seeing, it doesn't look the same. But Mary can retell the story by saying, truly, God, his ability to work things out are boundless, because the troubling elements seem to be the exact ingredients that were necessary to have me be and become who I am right now. That there's good reason for all that's happened. The virgin birth. The virgin birth was probably the most difficult thing for her to absorb. Like, what do you mean? Here's a young virgin girl coming from a Middle Eastern community, a Jewish community, who now has to tell her family, including her fiancé, I am pregnant. Can you imagine how difficult and challenging that must have been for her? The place where she leaves the scene where the angel just spoke to her and told her this news, and she has to go, Mom, can we talk? Dad, I have some news for you. Joseph, we need to have a little conversation. Can you imagine what that would be like? But what was happening all along was that God was fulfilling prophecy in her life. And anyone who may have thought later that Mary was not as virtuous as she claimed to be, now the entire world knows her, especially in the Catholic Church arena. They know her as the, help me somebody. Thank you. They all know her now, or we all refer to her now as the Virgin Mary. And she'll forever be understood and seen in that holy light. Why? Because she surrendered to the Lord. Even if you and I face impossible scenarios in our life where it seems like we're going to be ostracized and misunderstood and cast out and separated and rejected. Listen, we continue on in what God has told us to do, and he knows how to turn things around for his glory. And this trip to Bethlehem, again, because the child had to be born in Bethlehem. They're living up in Galilee, up in the north. Bethlehem is 80 miles south. They had to travel there. Hard road, challenging road, which tells us something. People tell you, give your life to Jesus and all is going to be well and easy and comfortable. That is not the case. It is not an easy road. By any means, it is not an easy road. But it's a much harder road living in darkness. Can we be very clear about that? Living in darkness, in sin, away from God equals death. Walking with God does not equal easy, but it equals glory. because we walk with him and he walks with us in every single situation. And in the process, he is shaping our lives and he's pulling things out that do not belong and he's putting things in that need to be in there. And he's using people and he's using pressure and he's using situations around us to mold us and shape us into the image of his son. And that is the good news. That is the good news of the gospel. And this humble barn, she's saying to herself, we have been rejected on so many levels. We can't even find a room for a delivery. We are exposed to the elements. There are these stinky, smelly animals behind us. That was the best picture I could find. The animals behind us, and it is not a good thing. But listen, they come to realize later that in order for these shepherds to be admitted in and to be the first ones to come in and to see the Lord, that's where they had to be. So when you look back, you realize, oh, that's what God was doing. But oftentimes, as we are going through it in the moment, we do not understand. We get angry with ourselves. We get frustrated with God. We want to walk away from the whole thing. I'm here to tell you today, listen, God is up to something, and he is doing something. You're like, this is not how I want this to be right now. This is not how I want life to be right now. Life should be very different than it is right now. This is not fair. This is not fair. What's happening to me, what's happening around me is not fair. Because I'm comparing myself to the right and I'm comparing myself to the left and I'm saying, this is not fair. And God is saying to you, listen, I am the one that knows how to make beauty come out of the ashes. I'm the one that knows how to take something that isn't and make something that is. I can take something that was completely destroyed and ruined and make something that is a masterpiece. But if you simply will learn to trust me in the process. Which brings us to our third and final point, which is creator. God is our creator. When Joseph was thinking about Mary's message to him, and the angel then appeared to him, and he says this in Matthew's account. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel. God, the creator, the one who spoke and everything came into being, is with you. And as magnificent as creation is, listen, God's creative power is to bring the dead back to life and to give those who couldn't see now the ability to see. He gave Mary and Joseph the ability to see the unseen so they can do what is against culture and bring about the promise and the purpose of God into the world. They did cross-cultural things. They had to move against what everyone was saying and thinking in order for them to fulfill the purpose of God in their life. And so what God does is he creates, he changes people, and he gives you the ability to see things from a new perspective. He causes the dead to come to life. When you look at the story of Mary Magdalene, or of Simon Peter, or of Thomas, or of Saul of Tarsus, they've all been transformed by the Creator. They've all been changed by the one who took someone that was dead and brings them back to utter life. And a person who was distant from God into a person who is now living in the presence of God. And God wants to do the same thing in your life and in my life today. He wants to bring vision. He wants to bring clarity into those areas that we cannot see well in. In Matthew, in John chapter 9, it talks about Jesus was walking along the road one day with his disciples. And there they saw a man who was blind from birth. And they asked Jesus this question. Who was it that sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says to them, neither he nor his parents, but for the glory of God. And Jesus, he spit onto the ground. He made some mud out of the clay. And he touched the man's eyes and told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went and washed in the pool, in the water, and he came back seeing, and rejoicing. What is happening there? That is a picture of what happens to a person who was living in darkness, and God needs to recreate. The Creator is creating something new. What is He creating? He's creating a new pair of eyes. He's creating new vision. He's creating new life out of something that was completely gone, dead, and wasted. You and I can today look at the creation around us today. We can look up at the stars, maybe not from LA, maybe when we go up to Big Bear. We can look up at the stars, right, and see the beautiful creation of this. We can go out to the ocean and see the majestic ocean that is there. We can look around us, you know, whether it's a forest or whatever it is about God's creation, we can say, God, this is glorious. This is absolutely glorious. But you know what? We are known as the apex, the zenith, the epitome of His creation. And God is saying, I don't want my creation living in darkness. And what I did for this man here in John chapter 9, I am ready to do in and through you right now. I am ready to anoint your eyes where your eyes should be and give you vision where you once could not see, because I am the creative kind of God. I take that which is not and speak it into existence. I speak it into existence. I don't know if you believe what I am saying or understand what I am saying to you today, but God wants to do something that is unique and incredible in your life. The Creator is here. The Creator is here, and He is speaking life over you. And He's saying to you and to me today, I am approachable. I want you to approach me. I want you to approach me, and I want you to know that I am boundless, I am limitless, and I am also your Creator. And here's a bit of homework for you to do, because this message is not going to end with me. This message is going to end with you as you go home and take this with you today, because if we go down the list, you need to find out what D and E and F and all the rest of them are, right? For example, you can look up D and say, God, tell me who you are. Tell me who you are that begins with the letter D. You can say, God, you are my defender. God, you are my deliverer. And you look up passages pertaining to this and you say, Lord, would you feed me? The preacher gave me a couple of things today to chew on, but I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to go and find E, where you are the everlasting God. You are the eternal God. And I want you to communicate your truth to me. Thank you for the disciples being around, but I need Jesus. I need Jesus himself to put his hands onto my eyes and to bring restoration of sight into my life, because without that, I will continuously and consistently live in darkness. Listen, if you listen to a preacher week after week, month after month, year after year, it is just like listening to the disciples alone. But what you and I need is we need the Lord Jesus himself to touch us. We need him to personally touch us and to minister to us and to bring healing to us, where I can now approach him and I can now say, I'm not going to have the old mentality of I've messed up too much and I can't approach you. No. You are saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, because I will give you rest. And there you will find rest for your souls. For we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore enter in with boldness to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find favor to help us in our time of need. We need to approach him with faith. And we need to understand that just as he was boundless and limitless with his love and with his forgiveness and his provision, that he is doing the same in our life. And even though we may seem to think that things just aren't going very, very, very well right now, God is saying, listen, just as things weren't going well for Mary and for Joseph, and I turn that scenario around for my glory, I can do the same in and through your life at this particular moment, because I am the creative kind of God, the creative kind of God, where I make something out of nothing. I make something out of nothing. So I want to challenge you to take the rest of the alphabet and look up some of the characteristics of God and say, Lord, show me who you are. Show me that you are my defender. Show me that you are the eternal, the everlasting one. Show me in F that you are the faithful one. When I am faithless, you remain faithful and you do not deny yourself. And go down the list and begin to encourage yourself and encourage those around you as we go through this Christmas season, so that we don't look at this particular scene and go, oh, what a nice, pretty picture of the Nativity. There's Joseph and there's Mary and there's baby Jesus. How precious. He's saying there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. I want you to come near and I want you to know that I am not limited to anything and I'm ready to create something new in your life. today. Can you pray with me? There's a couple of words from the famous song that I'm not asking you to sing, by the way. Just wanted to read a couple of words from the song that says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? The Almighty, the Everlasting One. Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? That when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. That's who we're worshiping today. That's who we're worshiping today. And this same promise that she received is something for each of us here also today. This visitation by the angel. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will overshadow you and will plant a seed on the inside of you. This promise was given to her to grow in her, to be delivered through her. Here's your takeaway for today. By faith, she received when she said, let it be unto me according to your word. The promise was given to her to grow in her, to grow in her. As the Apostle Paul speaks of the Galatian church and says, my little children, whom I labor until Christ is formed in you, until he is formed in you, until he takes up residence on the inside of you and his characteristics begin to show in your life, to be delivered through her. Where your life and my life become an extension of his hands and his feet. That this Mary experience wasn't just an experience for one person, but it's a picture of what God wants to do in every single life. The promise is received, the promise grows, the promise is delivered. Even if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, this message comes out to you. That's why the Savior is here. He didn't come for those who are good. He came for those who needed help, which, by the way, is everybody. Everybody needs help because everybody has sinned. And he's saying, Christ is for you. Christ is for you. Receive him as your own and allow him to grow in your life and allow him to be delivered through you, through your speech and through your actions. Through your attitude, to be delivered through you. Where you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're yielded to God and you become a vessel, an instrument in the hand of God to demonstrate and to reveal to others the goodness of God, where you can begin to declare like the Samaritan woman, come and see a man who's told me everything. Or like the blind man who says, I don't know much, but what I do know is I was blind and now I can see. Now I can see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this morning we just honor you and we bless your name for your goodness over us, Lord God. We thank you because you always initiated this relationship. You always have. You love us that much. Would you help us to respond to you this morning, today, by faith? Would you help us to lift up our spiritual eyes to heaven and say, Lord, do a work in my life. Do a work in my life. Give me the courage to approach you because you are approachable. Give me the faith to know that you are boundless. You are limitless. You are infinite. And if something has been damaged in me, you are the creative God. who can renew, reshape, remold, remake me into a new person. Trusting your word that says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. Thank you for that. Thank you for being the everlasting God. Thank you for being the faithful friend. Thank you for being the humble servant. Thank you. What an incredible example you are to us. We yield to you, Lord God. We come to bless your name. Can we stand together, church? Can we just lift our hearts to God and say thank you? Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you. You deserve all the praise. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor because you've left the comforts of heaven. You've left the comforts of heaven, the glory of heaven, where untold numbers of angels bow down before you and worship you, to be born in a cold, lonely stable to give us life and to give us hope and to give us a fresh perspective. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God, and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you.